This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Hi, I'm Tony La Russa, and you're listening to Baseball Outside the Box with Pete Caliendo.
This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone from around the world, and welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, where we interview baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts, and also we like to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. We are thrilled to be here today in Toyama, Japan, where we are at the World's Children's Baseball Fair with over 150 kids from around the world gathering to have a fun baseball camp and experience the great culture of Japan. Toyama is an awesome place, and so far we have started our first day at camp. The camp spokesman and the leader of the camp is the famous world home run king, Sadahara Ho, just a great individual who loves baseball and loves to work with young kids. Joined by Sadahara Ho are 10 of the Baseball Softball Confederation baseball coaching experts from around the world. Now, we just finished our first day of camp where we had opening ceremonies. Sadahara Ho gave a great talk, and we began instructions on throwing, catching, a baseball hitting, and then we ended it up with a fun game. But we're looking forward and returning tomorrow to next day's camp. And we're thrilled to have on the show today the first player ever from Aruba that played 7 years in the major league. He's known as the King in Aruba and also in the Netherlands. A seven-year major league player who played along the side of Ichiro, the Hall of Famer, an Olympian, a two-time Olympian on the Dutch national team. And now he spends his time coaching young players in the island of Aruba, working with all the players to make sure that, you know, he instills the confidence, the discipline that he had when he played the game. Known as the King, Eugene Kingsdale. Now, before we begin, we bring Eugene on the show. Remember, we got to talk to our audience. We'll let you know. Don't forget, go to our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Go there and click on iTunes and Stitcher. Hit the icon, subscribe to the show. Give us a 5-star rating if you love the show. That really helps the show continue. Finally, a special thanks to our company, the Lineup Media Group, for hosting the show. You can hear a lot of great shows like Youth Baseball Talk by Jim Cromer, Chasing Pucks with Panger, and Let's Get It On. So check it out on lineupmediagroup.com. Now, for today's topic from Toyama, Japan, with Mr. Kingsdale, we're going to be talking about not only the camp at the World Children's Baseball Fair that he worked last year, but also is working this year, but also, you know, in these camps, how to keep it fun, how to get the young kids to learn, how important the development of their skills are for the future of the game so they become better players. And we're also going to discuss some of the things that they do in Aruba and the Netherlands, because they have some outstanding coaching programs and outstanding development programs. And we want our audience around the world to know about these programs because we think it's going to help develop the game. We're also going to talk to Eugene about the Japanese baseball. We had a great conversation the other day in breakfast. And, you know, I want our audience to know what he thinks about Japanese baseball, why it's so good, and how we as, you know, Americans, as Dutch, as Europeans, as Asian, whatever, can learn from the Japanese and from the Asian culture to make it a better game. So without further ado, let's introduce Eugene Kingsdale. Eugene, I really appreciate joining the show, man.
Oh, thanks, Peter. You know, for me, it's you know, an honor and a pleasure, you know, to, you know, be on your, you know, on your program and show. So I'm just delighted to be here in Toyama, Japan, and looking forward to this beautiful week with all these kids. And it's been a wonderful time so far. Like you said, today was you know, opening ceremony, and we're going to continue tomorrow with clinics. So I'm looking forward to that, and the kids are excited, the coaches are excited, myself, and you know, just to, you know, bring my, you know, experience to the kids, and mainly it's about to, you know, the kids have fun, and you know, today we saw that, and we're going to continue with that this whole week.
That's great. And I'll tell you what, just so our audience understands that, you know, this is the first time I met Eugene. And I'll tell you what, we spent a day together, and I can really see why he has not only the ability, but he has the drive to work with young kids. I laugh so much just in one day, and you can tell that he just loves to have a lot of fun. And, you know, having that fun also instills, you know, makes kids relax, makes coaches relax, and there's a lot of learning going on. So I want the audience to understand that this is the first time I've worked with him, and it's been a thrill already, and it's only been day one. And what I want to do, Eugene, is tell you already experienced, you know, the World Children's Baseball Fair last year. Tell us a little bit about what you guys did last year and how that helped a lot of these young players, because these players are 10 to 12 years old. They went back to their country. How did they get better at the camp?
Well, our main focus is, basically it's about, you know, bringing these kids together and let them understand that, you know, we are here to help them. But mainly they need to, you know, give us, you know, the motivation that they want to, you know, learn something. And for me, it's very important to the kids. You know, they need to just relax and have fun. And basically, whenever you have fun, you know, you develop and you get better. It's funny because a lot of kids, you know, seems like, you know, they want to get better in one day, and it doesn't work like that. You know, we're here for a week, and the most important thing about teaching is the continuation of whatever you get, you know, teach that day, you know, to carry it on to your own club when you leave from here, and, you know, continue with the, you know, with the basic, and that's how you get better. You know, practice makes perfect. And so long you continue and focus and do the little things right, I believe you can get better. And whoever is, you know, in front of the class or in front of the group must understand that, you know, we're dealing with kids. And whenever you're dealing with kids, you have to have a lot of patience and you have to be coachable. You know, you have to teach. You know, teaching is very important. And whenever you can teach, it's going to carry on to, you know, one player to another, and it's based on, you know, teamwork and a lot of focus. And if you focus and trying to bring on your knowledge to the kid, the kid will respect that, and he will see that, you know, you are carrying something, and you are trying to teach him something that he will carry on to, you know, his club or his brothers or his family, and he can go back home and tell, you know, his folks, his parents, that, you know, he got, you know, taught something very important that he can carry on. So one of the most important thing is if a kid can go back and tell someone that, you know, he learned something, that means he was paying attention in class or in on the field. That's very important. You know, if a kid can do that, that means that, you know, he was paying attention and he learned something that day. And that's one of the keys to success. And that's one of the keys to lead by example, especially if you're a young kid, you know, growing into whatever sport it is.
You know what? And I noticed that, here we have kids from different countries, so communication is not easy. You know, we got some guys that obviously are assisting and trying to translate. But I'm assuming when you got these 15 kids in your group, well, how's the communication? Is it mostly verbal? Is it visual? You know, how can coaches work with, you know, 10 to 12 year olds? Because, you know, if you do too much talking, they're going to get bored. Right. What do you do to work with the young kids every time they come to your group?
Well, actually, you know, you're trying to talk, and you have interpreters, but you're trying to do it yourself. You know, you're trying to do the drills yourself so they can see it. You know, sometimes when they see something, mm-hmm. they'll learn it easier, because, you know, communication is very important in every sport, and if you can communicate with the kids, it'll help yourself and the kid develop whatever you want them to do. So it's better for a coach to do it first and then let the kid do it. You know, so if you're gonna teach, you have to be able to do it yourself so they can see you do it, mm-hmm. and then they'll do it properly.
Yeah, and the other thing I noticed, that you always got a smile on your face with the kids around, and you're laughing, and, you know, you're making funny, you know, movements to kind of get them involved in what you're doing. Explain that a little bit.
Well, that's one of the main things. You know, when you're working with kids, it's all about having fun. You know, if you have fun, you will enjoy the game more. And for me, being out there, I want to be out there knowing that, you know, these kids are going to trust me with, you know, teaching them a game, because it's a game, you know. So you want to have fun all the time doing it. And by doing, you know, little things, they'll have fun and they'll understand that, you know, it's okay to miss a ball. It's okay to throw off. But you're going to have to practice to get, you know, to get it, you know, to get it right. And the more you practice, the better you'll get. And as soon if you understand and realize that, you know, that in a way that, you know, you can correct the guy or correct the girl right away, that means that, you know, you want them to do it right at that time, and in the future they will correct themselves, you know, if the coach is not there, you know. So at one point they're gonna get to a point that, you know, they're gonna correct themselves if no one's there, you know what I'm saying? So basically it's, you know, trying to correct them at the spot, but try to teach them at the same time, you know. So it's based on, you know, trying to, you know, put them in a spot that they'll feel comfortable doing something that they can continue doing it in the right way.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I mean, obviously, you know, our audience, just if you didn't know, you know, Eugene played 7 years in the major leagues. He's about 6'6", 6'7", so he's got that presence. So I'm sure these little 10 and 12-year-olds, right away, he's got their attention. That helps. But you just watch him. You know, he's smiling. He's having fun with these kids. What about, you know, once in a while you're going to have a kid that, you know, maybe not, you know, their attention span's not great. They're not paying attention. You know, how do you keep their attention? I mean, how do you get them to listen to what you're saying in case they're looking somewhere else, you know, while you're doing talking or while you're explaining?
Well, one of my things is, you know, I always teach by, you know, getting the full attention while I'm speaking. You know, when a coach is speaking, he should get all the attention. So if you want to learn something, you got to listen. Okay, you got to listen and you got to watch. So basically, I try to get everybody's attention and trying to tell them, if you don't pay attention, you won't learn. Mm. You know, that's how it is in school, everywhere.
Yeah.
So I try to get everybody's attention. Once in a while, you get a kid that, you know, is distracted, but sometimes you got to put him in a spot.
Sure.
Like, for existence, if I'm saying something and he's not paying attention, I'll grab him, I'll bring him in front of the group, I'll tell him, what did I just say?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. You know, put him in a spot so he can be like, hey, I got to pay attention.
Yeah.
So it's basically, you got to, you know, it's a mind game, you know. It's a mind game, and I try to put them in a spot that they feel comfortable. I'm not trying to embarrass no one. I don't try to show up no kid. I'm not the type of coach that comes to the field and punish a kid.
Yeah.
So if I come with that mentality, I'm not correcting myself as a coach or as a teacher.
Mm.
So I got to come to the field knowing that I'm going to come and teach the kids. I'm not coming to punish no one. You know, I'm friendly. I want to be your friend, because most kids are in, you know, in the world, you have a lot of kids that have a lot of problems at home. And by saying that, is for me, I want to be as good as a friend to the kid, that he can come up to me if he have any kind of problem, he can come and talk to me. Because back home, I have kids that have all kinds of problems at home, and they come to the field with all those things in their head, and they cannot perform at the higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm giving them that confidence that they can come to me and talk about anything they want to talk about. So meaning to say that if they have any kind of problem, they can come to me, and if I need to seek help in any kind of way, I can help them get better at whatever they're doing, or whatever the problem they have at home or on the street. I can help them be better, and also they can be as comfortable as they want to be with me. Because a lot of these kids have more more. They trust me more than their own parents.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm just another parent for them. I'm just another friend. So I just want them to feel as comfortable as possible, so they can feel at home, so they can join and be a group. So it's all about, you know, teamwork for me.
Well, you know what? That's awesome, because, you know, a lot of times we just look at it as baseball, you know, just coach baseball, right, and we forget that they're human beings, right, that they're kids, you know, that they need that guidance.
Right.
So obviously, in your life, I don't know your parents, I don't know your background. Talk a little bit about, you know, where this all started, because you just didn't make this up on your own.
No.
It started when you were younger, and talk about a little bit about the influences that got you to play the game correctly and got you to the major leagues also, possibly.
You know, it's funny because I was growing up in Aruba, I always had a dream, and I wanted to be a soccer player. Mm. And I played three sports. You know, I played soccer, I played baseball, and I played basketball. And I was pretty good athlete. Me and my younger brother, we was pretty good athletes on the island. And it's funny that I always had my life. I always planned something. You know, I planned everything. I wanted. From a young kid, I wanted to make a difference.
Wow.
In whichever sport it is. I just needed that opportunity. You know, life's about opportunity, and I had opportunity to play professional baseball. So I quit soccer, I quit basketball, and I focused on one sport. And I told my parents, I finished school, finished my high school, and I signed at the age of 16, and I told them that I wanna get into pro ball, because I was a kid that I wasn't the best, but I was the kid that wanted it the most. And for me, I wanted that opportunity, and I got that opportunity. I got it, I grabbed it, and I ran all the way to the big league. So It's funny because I had a lot of friends that was better than me, but like I said, I was the one that wanted it the most, and I worked daily on it. My parents always taught me, you know, the right way. I knew good from bad, and I just work at, you know, the things I need to work on to get better every day, because competition was extremely hard, and I had to go through a lot to get to the next level, and I'm happy that, you know, things work out for me. I had some tough injuries, you know, coming up, you know, through the minor leagues, but I was mentally ready for anything. That was one of the things I grew up with, you know, by guaranteed by my parents,
mm-hmm,
that mentally I was able to face anything in life. So I was prepared for anything, and I was determined to, you know, to get to the next level, which was the major leagues.
Well, you mentioned three sports. Now you played three sports. Now you may have been born athletically in some ways, but did those three sports help you become a better baseball player?
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Because you know, back in Aruba, in the islands, most kids played, you know, multiple sports,
right,
because of the population, and you know, just the we don't have that many kids that, you know, only play one sport. So,
but let me ask you real quick. That could be an advantage, because, you know, in the States right now, let's take the United States, a lot of kids are starting really young, even at 10, 11 years old, and only playing baseball, where they're not developing those athletic skills.
Right. That's for us back home. It helped us, because you play different sport, and that help your athletic ability. And for me, it was very important, because I had a chance to, you know, to play different sport, and it helped me, you know, run better, throw better, jump, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it helped me a lot, playing, you know, multiple sports.
Yeah, and the other thing, as you mentioned, was coaches. your coaches when you were 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, even 14, what were the things you liked most about your coaches and maybe what you liked, not personally, but things that they did as a coach? What did you like that they did to help you? And what maybe did you not like as a player, the way coaches did certain things? Because we have a lot of coaches around the world listening, and I want to get the perspective of that young person who had all these coaches and what he liked about some and what he didn't like about others.
Well, for me, it's all about respect. I felt that whoever was in front of the class or in front of the group, you had to give them respect because back home, a lot of those coaches do it voluntarily. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's an honor that, you know, someone can leave their household or after they work or the job and come and, you know, deal with other kids, you know. And having that for me was very, very important because not everyone can just leave, you know, the household and come and deal with, you know, other, you know, parents' kids.
Yeah.
And doing that for me, I had to give back and put my effort into what, you know, the coach is teaching and just make the most out of it and helping others because sometimes we had only one coach for, you know, 10 or 15 guys.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. Now that I'm a coach, you know, retired baseball player, I really tip my hat to, you know, coaches that, you know, work with kids. And kids from anywhere from 5 to 11, 12, 13, 14. And it's not easy. And you have to have a lot of patience.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be determined. And you have to really want what you really want to accomplish into these kids because, you know, most kids are not, you know, most kids are how you say it, they wanna get to the next level by just, you know, just going through the motion. And if you wanna get better and if you wanna be you know, a standout or a role model, you have to do the little things right, you have to be consistent, and you have to know what you have to do to, you know, to let the other guy know that, you know, you are determined to, you know, get to the next level. So basically it's you know, respect, especially for the coaches. And trying to get involved and focus into whatever you want to accomplish on that day. Especially, you know, young kids, when they come to practice, their mindset got to be into the game they want to practice, train. So if you're coming in to train baseball, your mind got to be into baseball. It cannot be anywhere else. And, you know, if it's an hour or two, it has to be an hour or two of baseball, you know. So your focus got to be on the game, not on the game and something else. Mm-hmm. Because if not, you're not getting the whole thing at once.
And that's a tough thing for, you know, like you said, a volunteer coach to try to keep the attention span of all these
right.
kids, try to, you know, develop their skills, try to keep them moving. Well, let's talk about that because – you know, for our audience out there, if you don't know, Aruba and the Netherlands, you know, they have a great development program for not only coaches, they make sure they train their coaches well, which filters to their players. Talk about what Aruba and the Netherlands continue to do in coaching to help coaches, to help players, and why they're so good in what they're doing right now. Why are we getting all these players from the, not only Aruba, but you mentioned earlier, Curaçao and some other islands that are part of the Netherlands?
Well, it's funny, Peter, because baseball is a team sport. I say this everywhere I go. I'm individual prizes are nice, but I'm a team player, you know. So it's funny because I heard, you know, one guy that, you know, I admire, you know, years, for me, is one of the best hitters that ever played was Manny Ramirez. Mm-hmm. He said, players win games, team win championship. Mm-hmm. So baseball is truly a team sport. So the Netherlands always, you know, they get involved with, you know, the players from the islands. They get everybody involved. It doesn't matter if you're from Aruba, if you're from Curacao, if you have a Dutch passport and you belong to us, if you have a chance to play in the national team or represent the Netherlands, we want you. Mm. And that communication we have with the Netherlands and the discipline that the Netherlands give us,
that's big,
makes us better. Right. And for that saying, if we as Antillians work as a group and has the discipline, I think we are one of the best combination land in the whole world. Because if you see how the Cubans and the Asians prepare themselves for any kind of tournament, and if you see us, it's totally different. It's the culture. I'm not saying that we have to be the same as them, but, you know, if we have the similarity of doing the things right on a daily basis with discipline, I think we can compete on a high level every year with any country in the world.
Now, the Netherlands, they focus on coaches' education. Yes. Does that go into all the islands also with all the coaches there?
Yes, they try to set in courses for coaches, especially if you are gonna either help coach for the national team or in the head class in Holland. I'm finishing a course called the TC4. Mm-hmm. That helps you coach in the head class or help coach in the national team. So basically, it's a course that whenever they call you or whenever they assist you to help, they know that they bringing in someone that can teach. Mm. They bringing in someone that can pass on the knowledge, pass on the experience, what they have. So it's basically a safety that if they send someone anywhere in the world, they know they send someone qualified that can do the job.
That's awesome. And I think our, you know, countries around the world can learn from that. You know, the question also I had was, as a player, obviously you went on, you know, play 7 years in the major leagues. Was there anything now that you're a coach that you would coach yourself differently when you were younger to make yourself even a better player? Maybe something you didn't do that you felt now, if you had done it, maybe you've been that much better of a player.
Well, you know what? For me, it was actually in my younger years, if I would have prepared myself with a lot more, you know, weight and strength, yeah, I think I would have stayed on the field longer, because I was a guy that I was fearless on the field, but I wasn't as strong as I could have been at my younger age. But now you have programs and setups that, you know, you can get, you know, those guys on a weight program and nutrition, you know, that kind of stuff, so you can get in stronger and healthier, and that will help you stay on the field longer. So I think that was one of the things that could have helped me stay on the field longer. Mm-hmm. But I was determined to be on the field regardless if I was strong or not. But the thing is, in this game, you have to be healthy, and you have to, you know, be strong, because it's a long season, and if you're not healthy enough, your body will wear out, and you won't last as long as many of the other players that are as strong as they can be.
Now, in Aruba or in the Netherlands, we see in the U.S. a lot, you know, players are playing more games now, but they're not practicing enough either. How do you balance that, you know, how many games you play, how much you practice? Because in the U.S. now you're seeing, you know, many games. They can play all summer and not get any practice in the summer at all. How do you see that as a coach? Where's that balance? Should kids be playing more games, less games, practicing more? I know it might depend on age, but, you know, how do you deal with that as a coach?
Well, it's basically you have to you know, work on a program, on a plan. You know, it all depends. Excuse me. It all depends on age, and practice. You have to practice, but you have to also play games. You know, get reps, run the bases, hit, field. The only way that you will get better is by playing. You know, competition, and if you only practice and doesn't get into games or you know get you know your pitches in or you don't run the bases properly and you know you don't do all the baseball activities, you won't see what you have gained or you won't see what you have accomplished. So you have to train and also get into games. Mm-hmm. Game speed. Like I said, run the bases, throw, you know, do your sliding, you know, all the baseball activities, you got to do them in the game. So you have to have a plan, a whole year plan or a 2 year or 3 or 4 year plan, you know. If you can do that, it's good for you to play international also. So right. You can see other countries and other type of players and also get the vibe and get the chemistry of, you know, playing outside of your country.
That's awesome. I'll tell you what, we are going to take a short break and then we are going to come back with Eugene Kingsdale. He, the 7-year major leaguer here with the World Baseball, the World Children's Baseball Fair, one of the coaches. He's coached here a couple times already. We're going to continue to talk about youth baseball. We're going to talk about also, we're going to get into the Japanese players because I know you've got a lot of experience. You also have some friends playing in Japan. We're going to talk about how important it is to learn from other countries to become better coaches and players. So we're going to take a 10-second break, and we will be right back.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.